Welcome to the keynote stage. So my name is Mark Walsh. I'm the founder of this conference and part of the leadership team with Daniela and Manel. We have got quite a feast, quite a treat in store for you. The main stage doesn't have all the top names on. Some of them are spread out for various logistical reasons, but there are some awesome presenters on this stage. This stage is also sponsored by Alain Stefani. When we first had the idea of getting sponsors, I basically said, I won't take anyone as a sponsor unless I love what they do, because otherwise it doesn't have any integrity for me. I didn't know who Alain Stefani was, but I met her in Berlin. Someone said, oh, she's an intimacy teacher, she's an ex-sex worker, best-selling author in Germany. And I said, okay, well, I'll meet her. And I met her. And as soon as I met her, I felt at ease. I felt like, wow, this is a person who's playful, but also a deep listener. This is a woman who's a real leader. Since I've seen her work with people in very, you know, around trauma, around intimacy, around very difficult areas, men and women, I've come to regard her as a friend, actually. Like, I love her. So go to her website and check it out. It's Alain, I-L-A-N, Stefani, S-T-E-P-H-A-N for November, I. AlainStefani.com. There's an offer there called Love and Rage, which is as juicy as it sounds. You'll also find links in the descriptions for the videos below.
Mark Walsh, unbelievable. You are here. I'm delighted. Mark is the founder of the Embodiment Conference. Who would have thought? He also is the host of the Embodiment podcast, and he brought the Embodied Facilitator course, who is next year running in 3 different languages and 4 different countries. Today, his session is about life purpose, how not to waste your life, and what better day could be for that than the day we finally broke even on the Embodiment Conference. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you. Welcome.
Great. I was just telling the team to shut up in the background there. Good. Nice to be here on my own conference. I prefer teaching to running a conference, actually. So it is a delight. Let me get a sense of who's here. So in the chat, could everyone write on a scale of 1 to 10, how aligned to your life purpose do you feel? I'm going to go 9.7 today. I don't believe in tens, but pretty close to it as we come into the close with the conference. So I'm just going to look at that to see where you guys are at. So some of you are 1 or a 2, 9.9. Why the fuck are you here? You should be teaching. Okay. So a little bit about what's coming up. Warnings. This is going to be quite fast. I can't be bothered to slow down today. It takes effort for me. The other one is it's going to be quite sweary. So if you're offended or easily offended, please go away now. This isn't Mark, the nice conference host. This is Mark teaching, and I'm out of fucks to give. This is going to be fairly full on. If you are sort of emotionally a little bit, I'm not feeling too good today, watch the recording later. Okay. This is if you're feeling robust. If you're ready to go, fuck yeah, and go for it. This session is no hold barred, full throttle Walsh. So turn off now if that is not what you want. I don't want offended from Portland fucking emailing me again. Okay, you know who you are. So, all right, so let's begin. What's coming up? I'll give some thoughts on how to find or better tune into life purpose. I have been coaching this for some years. It's one of my specialist topics. I did a course called Purpose Black Belt several years in a row. We will probably re-release that next year in some format or another. But this is one of my main areas. I mentor people on this. 2 of my students are teaching today who I've mentored to tune into their life purpose. There's really 3 stages: finding it, getting the fuck out of your own way, and then learning to sell it. Okay, I'm not covering marketing today. That's the 3rd one, ethical marketing. I'll do something else on that. Probably in December, we'll release something. I know people have been asking me about that. This is more about the 1st 2. There'll be a little overview, why it matters, how you can find it. I'll tell you some of my sort of top methods, top tips. And if you're an 8, you can always get to a 9. This is a continuous process, right? It's not, you're not in 1 hour going to go from a 1 to a 10. You might go from a 1 to a 3 or a 3 to a 5. Yeah, you'll certainly, I'll give you some tools that if you choose to go away and do the hard work, then you can definitely increase that number. You can definitely increase it. We'll do some somatic work later on, and then I'll leave time for a few questions. I may even coach brutalize someone later on as well on the screen. So these are some of the things that will be going on. Does that sound good? If that doesn't sound like a good use of your life, please go away now. There's plenty of other good sessions on. Darren Diogi, for example, is very good. There's a great meditation panel on. So if this doesn't feel like the best use of your life, fuck off now. Okay, so really that's what we're talking about, is what is the best use of your life? Yeah. Why would you want to develop a sense of purpose in your life, or deepen your sense of purpose? You tell me, don't make me do all the hard work. Why might it be useful to deepen your sense of purpose? Please write that in the chat now. Live longer. Maybe not. Maybe you'll live. Do you think we'll live longer as a result of doing this conference, Daniela? I think we've probably shaved a couple of years off our life.
Yeah, but the enrichment of these years we have is a different one. It's not how long you live, it's how you live.
Yes, I'm seeing the answers come in. Live with passion, that's a part of it. It's not all of it, that's a big part of it. To live fully, right? For me, I never really had a choice in this. For me, it was either suicide or live fully. I simply don't know how people tolerate an unlived life. I find that hard to imagine, why you would live as an empty shell of yourself. Now, there are some very big implications to well-being. Like, think of the sort of vibrancy and juiciness of someone who's living a life of purpose. That doesn't mean, say, Daniela and I never got stressed doing this conference, right? But there's a sense of energy that comes with it. There's a sense of vibrancy. Not bored, obviously, way more than that. So for me, the fully lived life. Now, that's not to say if you don't know what your life, your purpose is right now, you should kill yourself. I'm definitely not saying that, be clear. What I'm saying is that it is worthwhile to move towards that. I would say your happiness, your even more though than just, like, when we say happiness, that sounds like surface level, deep contentment and meaning. For me, that's what gets me up in the morning, not just pleasure. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Game of Thrones and ice cream and blowjobs and, you know, things that are more just pleasure orientated. Pleasure's important to me, but it's not the driving force of my life. I have tried the path of hedonism. If you're not sure about this, I recommend trying it. I lived above a nightclub in Brazil. And all I did all day was have sex, drink beer, and do martial arts, which is a big pleasure for me. And I was suicidally miserable within 6 months, right? Like, I have tried the path of hedonism to its extreme, and unfortunately, you get diminished. You end up as a drug addict or an alcoholic or just feeling sort of empty. This is why so many people who are rock stars or pop stars, and I've met quite a few now, will do that. They'll do the cocaine and the groupies and whatever, but then eventually they'll start getting into spiritual practice or charity work or something else, because they realize it's not satisfying to them, yeah, ultimately. So the advantages to purpose: well-being, happiness, but more like deep contentment. I don't spend all my days during the conference going, yay, I'm so happy. I spend them with a sense of drive, with a sense of energy. And I'd say I was pretty happy three quarters of the time, but a quarter of the time I was very, very stressed because I care deeply about my work. It can actually be a route to more stress purpose. So I don't want to say that it means you don't have any stress. Yeah. For me, as I said, it's really just that I want a meaningful life. That's essential for me. There are some side benefits. It makes you more attractive, for example. People have been sending me boob pics unrequested throughout this entire conference. I have not asked for them. They've been arriving on my phone. There's something about being aligned with purpose that makes you sexy. That is just the truth, particularly for men to heterosexual women, but across the board to some extent. So there's some side benefits like that. I think I've covered most of the benefits there. But for, as I said, for me, it wasn't really an option. It was do or die. I've always had a strong sense of that. I don't think everyone has to. I don't think purpose is for everyone. But if you feel either a calling or a lack of calling, an emptiness around it, Yeah. Notice the purpose isn't necessarily a job. For some people, they're like, since I was a kid, I knew I would be a vet. It's not that simple for many of us. Yeah. For many of us, it's not as simple as I'm a doctor or an airplane pilot or something. There could be a combination of working to a set of values rather than a particular job. It could be more about a general area. Like I'm a teacher. I'm more of a teacher than I am a conference organizer. I do like hosting, but I'm more of a teacher. Yeah. Panelists. Yes. Let's get some people on the screen. Put your hand up if you want to be on the screen. It's nice to see some humans. Thank you for that suggestion. Cool. So you can think of life purpose as a combination of things. Maybe you've seen the Ikagi diagram, three things, sometimes four things. So it's what you love, okay, what you're good at, and what's in service to others. And these are the three routes to finding purpose. So they're the three parts of purpose, but also the three routes of finding purpose. I'm going to have gallery view, if you wouldn't mind this. I can see everyone. Okay, so let's break those down. Hello, everyone. Hello. If you've volunteered, then put your good beard, Flynn. Well done. Hello, Anna. Hello, Lucy. Hello, Claudia or Claudia. Hello, Eileen, Svenja. Nice to meet you all. Nice to meet you all. So please put your camera on if you're on the screen. That's the whole point. Okay, welcome. Actually, people on the screen, hold up. How many fingers are you on life purpose? That would be totally on purpose. That would be totally off purpose. I'm looking on my monitor if you see me looking down. Okay, so some are three, some are five, one are 10. Why, Inga, go away. You don't need to be here. You're wasting your life in a talk on life purpose if you're on 10. That's ironic, as Alanis would say. Okay, so if you just come in late, remember there is going to be swearing. Don't be offended. Being offended is for twats. All right, so the three main routes. Okay, so we've got what do you love? What are you good at? And we've got what does the world need, what you're in service to, or what the world pays for. That's the same thing. If you help people, they will pay you for it. Okay, worst case scenario, you can get someone else to pay for it. So sometimes it's four things. I think it's really only three things. I don't think there's a distinction between what helps people and what people will pay for. Luckily, capitalism is awesome. Okay, if you don't believe me, please show me a socialist embodiment conference as good as this one. No, you can't. Okay, so the three things again. Passion. What do you love? What wakes you up in the morning? What do you do all night? You know, the biggest problem I've had with my team during the last 2 weeks, can you guess the biggest problem? Stopping them working. They all love it so much. They're just working all day long. And I have to come into the office and say, go home. Yeah, just otherwise they'll burn out. So passion, what do you do when you're unpaid is a great question. If you can get paid for what you would do anyway unpaid, that's a good thing. What wakes you up? What do you bore your friends talking about? What would you do on holiday by mistake? I once wrote a book on holiday by mistake on embodiment. I was in Israel sitting on the beach after a day. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to write a book. Fuck it. So accidentally wrote a book while on holiday once. My wife was most amused. Okay, so what do you love? What do you have passion for? What would you do irrespective? Like, I would teach embodiment if no one was paying me. How do I know that? Well, one, I used to, when I used to teach Aikido, yeah, unpaid. Okay, I used to teach kids Aikido, unpaid. Secondly, I regularly teach unpaid. Like when I teach gay community in Russia, I do that every few months. I love it. Completely enjoy myself as much, if not more, as the jobs I get paid lots of money for in Russia. Okay, so that's a good test, is what would you do for free? Yeah. All right, so there's what do you love? And there's a whole bunch of ways to tune into that. The body is the biggest one. This is the fucking embodiment conference, right? So can I have a view of everyone, not just me? Much as I love looking at myself. Thank you. Okay, so what brings you alive? That's a bodily thing. Let's all play with this, doing the opposite of this. Play with, hello, my name's Norman. My job's amazing. It's the best job ever. Have you ever had that feeling of being grey, of being uninspired, as opposed to slight back bend, open the chest, try this at home if you like. It's a somatic session, not just theory. can ask yourself that question by tuning into the center of your chest, feeling that area. What is it I love? And you can ask yourself that question every day. What do I love? What do I love? But also notice it throughout the day. Like, what was the best part of your day yesterday? You like it, but once in that day, you helped someone find what they needed in the supermarket and you felt really good. Maybe that's a little bit closer to your purpose than stacking the shelves. Make sense? Or maybe you love stacking the shelves and it just felt really good to be organizing stuff. Yes, some people, Daniela likes organizing. Some people like organizing. So tuning into the feeling, both as an inquiry, you can do this now. What do I love? You want to write in the chat, feel free. And then you can also do this throughout the day by being body aware. We do body awareness practices. We can notice what's turning me on, what's lighting me up, what's giving me energy even when I'm tired. So that energy, and I don't mean anything esoteric. I just mean you feel like you could do stuff. You're awake. Yeah. That's life purpose. That's like God going, wake up, retard. Wake up. This is what you're here for, you fucking idiot. Are you paying attention? Wake up. Okay. It's like God's continuously slapping you on the ass, reminding you of what your life purpose is. And we're like, oh, what was that slap on my ass? I wonder what that means. Yeah. By the way, you don't have to be a theist. When I say God, you can think of the universe, fate, kitty. Hello, kitty. You can think of it however you like. Okay, great. So what do you love? Here's the problem. It's not just that. So some people say, I love chocolate. Or I love playing computer games. I love oral sex. Great, me too. But how does that serve people? So purpose has to include service, not just passion. And you could be passionate about genocide, right? It's like, how do you serve people? This is a key thing. So if you're not helping people, it's not purpose. And if you're helping people, you can get paid. You may have to learn marketing skills, be a grown-up. I can show you how to do that. Okay, I can teach someone marketing in a year. I can teach you the basics in 3 hours. It's not that hard. Okay, but the key thing is you're serving people. Yeah, orientated around serving people. So a great question for life purpose is, who am I here to serve? So I hope that it comes across that the entire conference, every member of staff is serving the embodiment community. I hope that comes across. Like, I was with Adrian this morning, like his generosity, like we're in service to you guys. That's our job, right? But it's not just our job, it's our calling. It's who do you find yourself called to help? And then within the embodiment community, there are different people within that. So I've always felt called to help gay people in Russia. I don't know why. It doesn't really matter. Okay, I'm not gay. It's just fucking just feels good to me. Right. So every time I go to Russia, as long as it feels good, I keep helping that community. It just feels like part of my mission. Yeah. So that's like a subset of my purpose. Make sense? Okay. If you're sick of serving others, you are serving them in the wrong way and the wrong people. Yeah. So it's like, you're not here to serve everyone. Fucking, I'm not here to make you a cup of tea either. If you said to me, hey, Mark, can you do my accounts? I'd say, fuck off. It's not why. So who are you serving with what? By the way, if you do have children here, you might want to put headphones on. Okay, there will be Welsh words said. I'm from an Irish family. It's my cultural right. So, yes, I just noticed there was a child in the audience. Hello, small boy. Hello. What's boy's name? Is it boy or girl? I don't know. Blue top person. Hello. So, good. Do find your life purpose when you're his age, if you can. But if you're 90, that's okay too. Now, he's getting a head start, which is good. But if you're like with kids, with my niece, I just say, well, what do you enjoy doing at school? Okay, what club do you want to go to? Let's get you to something you enjoy, right? Put your kids into what they enjoy. My mum would drive me to Aikido dojos when I had no money, when I was broke. And because she could see that I loved Aikido. Now, she wasn't thinking, oh, you should be a doctor or a lawyer. She wasn't thinking that. She was just thinking, well, what does Mark love? I want him to do what he loves. And she would, now I just sent my mum a text saying, Mum, we just did a conference for 500,000 people. We broke even today. I'm probably going to be rich within the year. this is amazing. Did you ever think your son would be this successful? And she went, of course I did, honey. Fucking awesome mumming right there. Okay. She always just let me do what I wanted to do and supported whatever I do. I said, I'm doing martial arts. She said, well, I don't really know what that is, dear, but anything you need? Oh, an Aikido stick. Okay. I'll buy you an Aikido stick. Right. So she would just support me in whatever I was passionate about. And, you know, bizarrely, I'm now financially more successful than all of my school friends who did what they thought would make them financially successful. So you can't guarantee financial success with following purpose, but you are more likely to get there. Why? Because which is more compelling? Authentic passion. Also, the passion means you get good at something. So our third is what you love, who you're in service to. The third one is what you're good at. But these are related, right? If you love something, you do it a lot. You just get good at things. Now, yes, there is such a thing called talent. I'm sorry, I'm never going to be in the NBA. I'm never going to be a professional basketball player or a ballerina, right? There are natural talents. There is genetics. However, most of it comes down to what you get obsessed with. Yeah. So find what you love and let it kill you. Find what you love and get obsessed with it to the point that you get brilliant at it. Yeah. So I spent years doing martial arts and meditation. I love teaching so much. If I go on holiday with my wife, within a few days, I start like teaching the waitress, you know, I'll start teaching the guy in the hotel about centering skills or whatever. I can't help it. I'm constantly practicing teaching. I'm constantly practicing embodiment. So what that means is after, you know, a few years, you get good at it. Now, I might not be yet as good as, say, my teacher, Paul, or some of the greats like Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen, but how did Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen become a master embodiment teacher? She stays up late, okay? That's literally what she does. She practices a lot. So it better be something you love, right? So find something you love and practice the shit out of it. Just keep practicing it, get better at it, get obsessed with it. Other people are gonna tell you, no, you should do this, you should do that. Tell them to bugger off. You can always employ someone to do that, right? I employ Daniela to do the OCD stuff that I hate. I employ an accountant to do the math stuff that I can't do, all right? You can always work with people, you know, you can learn the basics until you can do that, but you should be spending most of your time getting even better at the thing you're good at. A fish isn't a broken monkey. A monkey isn't a broken fish as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So find the thing that you get good at. Yeah, data games. So if kids are into computers or computer games, that might be their passion, right? The key thing I think we need to be a little bit careful of is things that are designed to be addictive. So no one's life purpose is heroin. Trust me on that. Yeah, no one's life purpose is Facebook. Yeah, well, even Facebook, right? I spent a lot of time on Facebook. People said, oh, you're wasting your time. Me and Rosie have done the best social media of any conference I've ever seen. Not very humble, but true. Okay, with this conference. So that all that time on Facebook has had a massive professional benefit. Massive professional benefit, yeah, is all that time on Facebook. Equally, I used to write love poetry when I was a teenager, okay? Young man, learn to write love poetry. Girls will love you for it, or boys, if that's your thing, okay? So, and people used to say, why are you spending all this time writing poetry? That's, you know, that's not useful. You should learn computer coding or you should learn accountancy. The poetry in my book has been part of my success. I use those same poetry writing skills for writing funny newsletters that sell this conference. So I'm on the phone to my copywriter. I'm using the same poetry skills for the newsletters that will mean we'll make profit. Same skills. So you just don't know where your passion's gonna lead. I didn't expect Aikido to lead to leading. The internet wasn't invented when I started Aikido, right? But I followed that path. I followed that passion, that sense of this is what I want to do with my life. And all my friends were getting jobs and they were doing boring bullshit. And they're like, well, you have to trade off, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you've got a mortgage, if you've got kids, blah, blah, it can be a little bit harder, but that's just a matter of strategy. I'm not saying drop the day job today, but in a year, in 2 years, can you save up some money? Can you get some training? Right? It's like, if you're not doing what you love now, that might not be your fault. If you're not doing what you love in 3 years, that is your fault. It's absolutely your responsibility. This idea of like, you were, you know, I wasn't born privileged with loads of money or something like that, right? The key thing here also is sacrifice. Yeah, sacrifice. So what are you prepared to give up? When I was young learning embodiment, I slept on couches. I ate pot noodle every day for a month. I hitchhiked around the country. I'd get the easy bus for £1. Now I get taxis on my own. Okay. But at the time I sacrificed. Look, my friends were not willing to do that. My friends were not, you know, like, young man, what do you want to get good at? I want to talk to this young person. What's his name? Yeah, unmute yourself. If he doesn't mind.
Hi, this is Arthur.
Arthur, hello, mate. How's it going?
Good.
Good, always say good. What do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to be either engineer or an astronomer or a massage therapist.
Great.
Or brilliant. Maybe even a game designer, I don't know.
That's great. And how old are you?
11.
11. So what? That's a brilliant age to be thinking that way. So first of all, power to you. You do whatever the hell you want. And if anyone tells you you have to have a boring job, you tell them to bugger off, okay? You can do what
okay.
You next thing is you need to get good at those things. So first thing is try them, Arthur. So if you think you might want to do massage, try that. Do a little course on it. Get your mum to send you on one. Get your practice with your friends. If you want to be an engineer, try that in a small way and see if you really like it. If you find something you really like, just get obsessed with it and do it all the time. Okay, that's the secret.
Hey, Chase.
What?
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Amazing.
Thank you.
I don't think Arthur realises that he's speaking to so many people. I think he thinks that this is one of my mates on a video call. Hundreds of people are listening to you.
Oh.
Okay, good. Looks like he's lucky to have a mum that supports him as well, which is, you know, we're not all on a level playing field with who our parents are or our health conditions or our age. But the first frame here is to take responsibility. First frame here is to say, this is my life. No one's going to come bloody rescue me, okay? This is my life. I need to take responsibility. The idea of sacrifice is old-fashioned. We're told we can have it all. We can have the beautiful car, the beautiful wife, the this, the that. No, you can't, at least not at first, yeah? If you want a chance at finding purpose and earning a living doing what you love, and just it's just a chance, it's not a promise, you need to give stuff up. Okay, so if Arthur's going to, I don't know, learn to be a massage therapist, he's not going to be able to play football every day with his friends. Yeah. Now, you might, at first, there might be some balance to that, particularly in childhood when you're finding what you want to do. You know, I'm not suggesting he spends every hour of the day doing massage or whatever he wants to do, but he's going to have to give some stuff up. This is just life. And this idea that I can do everything without sacrifice is nonsense. So the question is not, what do you love? The question is, how much are you prepared to suffer for what you love? Sorry, it's old-fashioned. That's just true. It's just true. So, ways to find purpose. Let's recap. Passion, noticing in your body what brings you alive, inquiring deeply into the body. Yeah, inquiring deeply into the body. Service, who do you have patience for? Have you noticed, I have a lot of patience with kids. I'm good with kids. I'm an educator. It's always been part of my passion and purpose is I don't get annoyed by kids, yeah? I'll happily go back to being a teacher of kids any day if it doesn't work out with the whole embodiment thing. Yeah. So what do you have? Who do you want to serve? Who do you feel compelled to serve? Who do you want to give your services away to? That can become a problem. I'll come back to that. Service. Third one is, what are you good at? Are 20 of your friends now. Put it on Facebook. What am I good at? If you text your English friends, they normally say, mine would be like teaching, leading, being funny, and being a wanker. They normally sort of do one like funny one as well. Okay, that's just the vulnerability issues. So ask people, what am I good at? Or notice, what do people ask your advice on? So one reason I teach life purpose is because people kept coming up to me and saying, Mark, you seem to have found your life purpose. Can you show me how to do that? And after I'd taken like 20 friends for a coffee, I thought I'd better do a course on it. So now I do courses on it fairly regularly. Good. What are you learning? Keep your comments short in the chat. I can't see them otherwise. What are you learning? Anyone want to unmute themselves from our little group here? You learning nothing? Who are your heroes? That's another great question. And it's not what your heroes did, it's how they did it. That's the values question here, okay? So for example, one of my heroes for this conference has been Elon Musk. Now, I'm not Augustus, Emperor Augustus has been another one. Now, I'm not trying to start a Roman Empire or launch a rocket into space. It was values that's important to me that I've tuned into, yeah? Anyone want to say hello that's on the screen? Let's bring them up.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. I think what you're saying, to me, it's not rocket science, but it's really good to hear those things because, I mean, I'm a certain age and I've had a purpose and now it feels like it's gone a bit wonky. So to hear those things, it's like, yeah, it's making me realize what I am good at. And just clarifying it for me, really.
Yeah, great. And here's the thing with purpose. It's not in most people's best interest that you are on purpose. So people don't just go wonky, they get wonkified. Yeah. People who love you, I'd say my mum, my wife, you know, my best friend, you know, they want you to be on purpose. But most people have their own agenda. So it's natural that advertising and governments or religions or whatever make us away from a sense of purpose. So it's actually our responsibility to de-wonkify, because naturally this will happen. The other thing that sets in is greed, for example. You start to go, oh, we can make some more money that way, or oh, we can get more famous that way, and then go, oh, hang on, what are my actual values? Getting back to that line, yeah? And it's never 100%. So, you know, that is, as Eileen said, that there is a process of continuously doing this.
Yeah, also, can I say one other thing?
Go on, quickly.
So somebody on the chat said, oh, I feel like I've been serving people all my life and I'm sick of it. And I was in that, I've been in that phase for quite some time.
Yeah.
So what I've learned is about drawing those boundaries that I'm not going to save people or any of that stuff, but I can be there for people and maybe help them along the way, but I don't have to save them.
Keep rolling. I'm going to interrupt you. So it's a brilliant point. I'm not polite. Get over it. But it's a really good point around boundaries. So being on purpose means being brutal about what you don't do. So I am fucking lazy. People have no idea how lazy I am. Danielle has seen this. People will send me emails and I'll just send them messages back that says too long, make shorter. Yeah. I won't spend my time reading long ass emails. I can't be bothered. I've got a purpose to live. You have to be ruthless with your boundaries, like absolutely firm. And the more success you get, the more you need to do that. So Eileen made a very good point there about being able to say no to other people, being clear about your own mission. That's what de-wonkify means, just to be clear, to get back on purpose. Somebody said, where do I start? If you're under 25 or under 30 even, I would say, get drunk with interesting people, do unusual jobs, work in ski resorts, you know, have lots of boyfriends or girlfriends, do whatever you need to do. Just try different stuff. That's what I did. I worked in a bar, I worked with kids, I worked on a ski resort, you know, like just have fun and explore. Okay, up to the age of 30, that's what you should be doing. If people tell me they're like 19 and they haven't found their life purpose, I'm like, don't fucking worry. Just chill, okay? Just chill. If you find it at 10, great. But if not, don't worry. If you're over 50 or under or whatever, you've probably got enough life experience to look back and say, what made me feel most alive? Yeah? And that's your signpost. So the good news is you're not playing pool in the dark. The good news is you've got enough life experience to say, what were the sweet spots? What were the highlights? What were the things that if they weren't quite right, they're at least in the right direction. It's like a Geiger counter, you know? You know what a Geiger counter is? It can make a noise. And the closer you get to the radiation, the more noise it makes. So it might just be a little crackling of the Geiger counter, but then you head in that direction. So that is the good news if you're over 50 in that way, yeah? Sometimes people say their life purpose is their children. Please don't put that shit on them. It's not their responsibility to be your life purpose, okay? Like, you know, obviously relate for some people who are more relational, supporting others is a big part of it. So that's one thing to bear in mind. Not everyone's a entrepreneur, starting a business, doing a big embodiment conference. That's not everyone's cup of tea. Yeah. Cool. We're all talking to Patricia, are we? A bit of side chat. Pay attention. Okay. Let's do a couple of somatic exercises and then I'll do Q&A. So, hands on the heart. Extend out. Ask yourself, what are you here to give? What are you here to give? Tuning into the body, using the somatics to encourage it. So not here, but in front, yeah? Extend out, don't be stingy, extend out. What are you here on the planet to give? Don't pretend you don't know. You fucking know. You fucking know. So tell us. Tell us all in the chat. What are you here to give? Could be something general that's of value or something very specific. Go for it. Put it in the chat. It's amazing when you tell people they know, they suddenly know. That is the secret. Focus on what are you here to give? What are you good at? What do you love? There's the combination. You can make a living from it. You can make a living from it. If you're good at it and people need it, you can make a living from it. Yeah. Not all things are equally easy to make a living from, for sure. But you can. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, let's do Q&A. So please use the Q&A box. If you could bring that up, please. And upvote some questions. Let's see what we got. Oh, that's a long ass question. Okay, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about blocks. So you can get clear about what you're good at, what serves people, what inspires you, and then still feel blocks. The first thing to appreciate is this is normal. This is absolutely normal. I had to overcome a lot to deal with the financial side of this conference, also to deal with the criticism of being seen. Success brings haters, success brings worries, visibility. The one answer to all this stuff is practice. Okay, surround yourself by good people who support you, get mentors, practice the embodiment, like taking up space, being seen, right? Who's scared of that one? Anyone? Put me in the chat if you are. Practice that in your body. There's a somatics to taking up space. Practice that every day. That's an embodied yoga principles pose. Practice it every day for just a minute or two. Yeah, and then practice it in your behaviors. Practice being the one who asks a question. Practice speaking up. You can get better at things. And many of us have to do trauma work. We have to get coaching. You know, I've been getting coaching, therapy, and mentoring almost every day for the last month. Don't think I just, you know, people think I sort of wake up in the morning and just kind of like bash the world with my massive confidence penis. And it's like, no, I don't. Some days I wake up and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm a piece of shit. Who am I to do this? And then I get on the phone and I talk to Paul Linden or I talk to my therapist or I practice a bit of embodiment, you know? And it's like, that's the tools we get, and we get better at the tools. You know, it's funny, I get to speak to a lot of these top speakers, a lot of them are insecure. Don't judge what's going on inside your head from what's going on inside the outward behavior of Alanis or Gabor or Peter Levine or whoever. Like, what's going on inside for a lot of these people is insecurity, worries, confidence issues. You know, the difference is they've just, over the years, practiced it and gained some tools and gained some communities of support. So yeah, it's definitely totally normal if you're not, you know, you don't wake up and feel it. What do I think of Greta Thunberg? She should go back to school. No, I don't know her. I've got no opinion on her. I've yeah, it doesn't feel like any of my business, to be honest. So I don't want to give my opinion on her. I seem to get excited about many things and they come and go to the next thing. Yes, choose one. Okay, so one perspective on purpose is that the sort of American personal growth perspective is like, God has a special plan for you and you have to find your special plan. Hallelujah. It's very sort of Christian, actually. And that, you know, there's some truth to that. Purpose can feel like a preordained plan, but there's a European existential approach to purpose, which is you choose purpose from a number of options. Yeah. A Taoist perspective on purpose is you are actually continuously going with the flow. You are continuously changing. You don't have to pick one thing for your whole life. I'd say for work success, it's important to get known for a thing. So pick something for 10 years. It's only 10 years. So it's like, I'm the embodiment guy, right? It's like, pick a subject. You know, my friend Erica is for women who are too nice. That's her thing. She's good at lots of things. She's interested in death. She's interested in Buddhism. But that one thing is something she's picked to be known for professionally. You don't have to be known for everything professionally that's your life purpose. There's things I do that are part of my life purpose. Like, I'm deeply interested in World War II history. Okay, it's not really relevant to my job. I mean, I learn things from it. It's just a hobby that I enjoy. So yeah, but pick something to get known for if you want to be successful, or just do the Taoist way of continuously flowing and tuning into different things and learning different things. Okay, someone says I do many things and I feel fulfilled in many things. Good. This idea that you have to have like one life purpose and that's it. It's like romance. You know, you can fall in love with different girls. It's just good to marry one sometimes, you know? Like, it doesn't mean you have to, it's not like the one, you know, this very romantic idea of this one person chosen by the gods just for us. It's the same with life purpose. If that's a good problem to have, Daniela, if you're like, you know, I'm doing different things and I love different things, great. Okay, if given that choice, pick the most lucrative. just be painting from oneself. That's a good question, Margaret Ann. I would say no. So I'd say that's good art comes from just satisfying oneself rather than an audience. I'd say great art is from oneself. However, life purpose involves contribution. And, you know, if you can imagine if Picasso had never given the world his art, if he'd just kept that to himself, the world would be lesser. So I think there lies the potential narcissism of art. And when I say art, I don't just mean painting. I mean any self-directed activity. So that's the risk of art. So I think this life purpose does always involve other people. For me with ADHD, ADHD has pros and cons. So it's a superpower in some ways. I always tell my niece who also has ADHD, it's a superpower. But staying on purpose, I tell you one thing. For example, I am impulsive. Daniela will tell you this from 2 a.m. emails. That impulsiveness can be quite dangerous to our business. So I have to be careful with that impulsiveness. Whereas the drive and the energy of ADHD is fantastic. Yeah. Also, I'm not a very good listener, which as a manager is tricky. Okay. So no. I mean, ADHD or OCD or any of these conditions, Asperger's, whatever, they're superpowers and they're liabilities. So it's just about knowing what your superpowers are and what your liabilities are. So self-awareness is at the heart of all this. Yeah, it's at the heart of all this. Okay, COVID randomly screwed up my plan for 2020. Yes, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, as the Spanish say. Okay, lockdown hammered my passions. Where to next? Tune in again, Daniela. It's not from Daniela, that's from Andy, sorry. Tune in again. So readjust. Stop complaining, first of all. Like this idea of like, oh, the world happened and it was bad. Yes, it fucking did. You know, yes, there was COVID. Yes, there was, maybe your dad died this year. Maybe, I don't know, whatever happened, you got AIDS this year. I don't know, something terrible maybe. But it's like, so? Life's a tragedy for all of us. Like, best case scenario, you get really old, fall apart and die. Okay, best case scenario. Like the idea that somehow like, oh, a tragedy happened. Like, you know how long plagues have been happening? Like, we're all like, oh, 2020, it's the worst year ever. No, it's fucking not. Like, we could be in the trenches in World War One. We could have bubonic plague. Like, there's so much worse things. This is just normal. So it's like, yeah, you regroup. Some years aren't like start a new business years. Some years are survive years, regroup years, you know? They're different years. So yes, if you've suffered, yes, if you've had a hard time this year, I get it. I've not had the easiest year, even myself in many ways. Maybe this is a survival year or a regrouping year, and maybe the next year is the sort of actually, you know, commit to life purpose and do your thing. So, great. I'm great at giving love, but not making money doing that. Any suggestions? Yes, charge people. Okay, there's my answer. So most people, particularly nice people and hippies, have big issues around money. I certainly did. I think I've cleared up most of them now. There's a whole body of work on this, on money psychology. You could look up Tad Hargrave or Lynn Twist. I did a post about this recently on the Facebook group. I'm going to do a whole course in December on ethical marketing. The first half of that is psychological. The second half of that is like the sort of hard skills, like how to build a sales funnel and stuff like that. Lots and lots of free videos on YouTube, by the way, on this subject, on life purpose and also on ethical marketing. I've got lots of podcasts on this subject that are free of charge for everyone as well. So normal. If find your life purpose, deal with your psychological shit, then get good at marketing. That's the order I would recommend you do this in. You can do it in any order. Quest and indigenous traditions. Yes, absolutely. The medicine quest, where I do fasting fairly regularly. I go 3 or 4, 3 to 5 days without food. Hallucinogens, I recommend if used in a intelligent, kind way and you don't have mental health conditions. You can do it many, many ways, depending on, you know, what suits you and your mental health. But vision quests of various kind. The simplest one, if you have no idea what you want to do, this is one a teacher recommended to me years ago. Go into the woods, buy a tent for £50, sit in the woods in your tent with nothing to do, no entertainment, no Facebook, no videos to watch, no books to read even. Sit there for 5 days. You will go nuts. And at the end of it, you will have a much better sense of your life purpose. Yeah, really, like 5 days, 3 days for most people, 1 day for some. Okay, so if you're like, oh, my life purpose, I can't find it. What do I do? Just go do nothing for a few days. Yeah, nature is definitely your teacher here. Not Vipassana, that's something. Don't even do that. Getting paid is country specific. Stop your excuses. It's pathetic. It's so pathetic. Like, the internet exists. My grandfather was an Irish peasant, right? My father went to university. We have the internet. It's amazing. Like, steal a laptop, get on with it. Like, there's so much stuff we can do. It's like, it's just like, if you're literally tuning in as a rice farmer in rural Bangladesh, okay, I'll cut you some slack, all right? For most places, however, there are so much possibility. How do you attract the right mentors? Be passionate about what you do and then help them. So the key thing is to say, how can I help you? People come with gimme, 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 wrong way round. Okay, we've employed so many volunteers who started off as volunteers and now we give jobs to. Okay, it's like, how can I help? Help them, be passionate about what you love. You know, I want to be around kids who are passionate around embodiment. If someone's 25 and loves embodiment and they're like, hey, Mark, can I carry your bag and make you a coffee during your workshop in Berlin? I'm like, yes, of course you can. You know, of course I'm going to say yes to that. Is someone enthusiastic and passionate who wants to help out? Of course. The other thing is, ask them. So I was at a talk and there was 200 people there. And at the end, I just put my hand up and said to, well, I was looking for a sort of strong female mentor who was big in business and also big on spirituality. I just put my hand up at the end and said, excuse me, will you be my mentor? And she said, yes, meet me for a coffee afterwards. I mean, I have a formal mentoring system now that comes out of the Embodied Facilitator course. I had to formalize mine because I was spending so much time on it. But you'd be amazed if you ask people. And I've lived in the basement of my this here is a black belt from Don Levine, right? He was the dean of the University of Chicago, which is one of the top universities in the world. And it was an Aikido teacher. And he was Barack Obama's boss at one point in Chicago. And I literally turned up at his house and said, I want to study with you. And he let me sleep in his basement. Yeah. And then I worked really hard volunteering for him in a project in Cyprus with the United Nations. I did a really good job. And he gave me another job, a paid job. And then he gave me another job. Then he sent me to Brazil and Ethiopia and Africa. He sent me all over the world, all over the Middle East. And in a 5-star hotel in Cairo that he eventually booked for us, because I was, you know, on the up by then, he gave me his black belt from his all his years of studying Aikido. And, you know, that was his generosity. And I try and play that forward. Paul Linden's been very generous to me as well. Richard Strozzi Heckler used to give me mentoring calls when I started my business. If you're generous to other people and you love what you do, you'd be amazed at how generous a lot of senior teachers can be. Yeah. How to overcome the feeling that everything has already been done. Do something that no one's done before. It may have been said before, but it hasn't been said by you. And a different person saying the same thing is different. Yeah, it's different. Do you find your niche? Do you find your specialism from a business point of view? That's very important too. Like, you know, I mentioned Erica's Women Who Are Too Nice. It's a great little niche. It's a great specialism. You guys already know if you're in her, if you're in her client group or not, right? Like, who here, put your hand up, who here is a woman who's too nice? Give us a wave. Dan's got his hand up. What if it doesn't earn much money? Take responsibility for learning marketing. Be a fucking grown up. It's like, it's a basic life skill, like driving a car or learning to speak French if you live in France, right? You can learn it. Now, if some areas are harder than others, you either need to scale. So do something that you can sell 1,000 units of, yeah? Or get someone else to pay. So that's learn about grant writing, learn about charities, blah, blah, blah. So you can earn a good living doing anything. I'm amazed at some of the ways people earn a living, in particularly in the internet age, you can get such a specific niche. Yeah. Does your success in areas that you're good at involve sacrifice? Yes. Now, this crossover, I think I'm probably a better husband because I've learned to be a better leader. However, this sacrifice, I haven't seen my wife in 2 weeks before yesterday. Yeah, like, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Okay, we're moving towards close. What are your key takeaways from this? Put them in chat. Key learnings. If you want resources, there's books I can recommend. Jamie Catto's book is on life purpose is very good. My YouTube videos, which are free, and podcasts on this are very good. To get off your ass, yes, that's the first step, to take responsibility. Okay, if you know what you need to do, do the psychological work. If you've done the psychological work, do the marketing work. Okay, if you don't know what you need to do and you're young, just bum around and have great experiences. If you're older, look back on what inspired you and aim towards that. Get from a 2 to a 3 or 3 to a 4. Ring fence your time. Yes, be merciless in your boundaries. Merciless. Keep listening to your body. Your body will tell you what brings you alive. That's why this is an embodiment topic, right? That's your primary tool for knowing if you're on purpose. What sets you on fire? What turns you on? Or what just gives you that quiet, deep sense that you're in the right place? Yeah, I first had this. I was volunteering for a project in Cyprus that brought together people from warring countries using embodiment. And I'd volunteered with Don, and he'd given me this job. And I was walking across from the Greek side to the Turkish side of Cyprus through the UN Green Line. I was leading this group of people, and I just in my body had this felt sense of I'm in the right place. This is exactly, it was like a 10.0, exactly the right place for me right now. And I clocked it in my body and went, how do I get more of that? Okay, I think this is a good place to end. We're on time. Daniela.
Yes, you want me to give the final announcements?
Yeah, go on.
All right. So maybe you want to tell people where they can find out more about you, Mark, before you're WhatsApping.
I'm just looking. I wanted to say that we've made $3,000 of payments while I've been doing this talk, which is nice. You can make a living doing what you love. It is possible. That should be encouraging to all of you. So where can we find out more? You can go to the Purpose Black Belt videos on YouTube. If you want to learn to be a coach with me, the Embodied Facilitator course, and we did a little bit of the Embodied Yoga Principles, which was the shapes we were using again, great for yoga teachers and coaches. We will probably in January, it seems like a good time of year to do it, relaunch Purpose Black Belt as well. So you'll get an email about that if you're still on my list at that point.
Ah, sounds good. There's a lot of stuff coming up. All right. If you want to continue the discussion, and there seems to be there's still a lot of questions and a very lively chat, go to the coffee breaks. The coffee breaks are a great way to meet other people, but also to reflect and discuss and manifest the learning. We also have a Facebook group, which is pretty decent, actually. Very nice comments, very nice discussions. Perhaps go there and continue the discussion. We also like to receive praise and love there. So continue with that. And last but not least, if you want to continue the learning after tomorrow, because today is the last day and the price will go up, please upgrade your account.
Doubling the price tomorrow. So if you haven't upgraded, now is the time. Continue the learning, and we do appreciate your support fully as well. So much thank you for those who are able to put their hand in their pocket.
Yeah, and also remember, by upgrading your account, you made this event possible, because without people buying the account, we wouldn't be able to make embodiment available for, how many are signed up? 470,000 people?
480,000. We almost hit 500,000, not quite. And at least 200,000 people have turned up live. Other people will see it after the event. And I think of all the lives that are being impacted by that 500,000, I think it just keeps spreading. We've also going to do, if you're a therapist working with traumatized people, we've got a freebie for you and some other freebies on the trauma front to help everybody out as well. But if you can afford or you want to give us a donation, then feel free. As I said, we've reached break even, but it would be nice to pay everybody a little bit more.
Yeah. And with that, I'm handing over the mic, not that I need to hand it over, but I do it anyway, for your top tip. As you know, we put a book together. And Mark, what, in one sentence or less, what do you want people to take away from this talk?
The body is a radar for life purpose.